Now, I have not preached here at Bethel in the last couple of months. Some of you guys knew that I had a heart attack a couple of months ago at the end of January. And I was in the hospital for about a week or so. And I don't know if you've ever been in the hospital that long or if you've met people with what they say have bad bedside manner. But I met somebody that had bad bedside manner. And she was a very dry personality, and she just kind of came up to me one day, and people were in the room, and they were leaving, and they were wondering, well, at your age, how could you have a heart attack? And she said after they left, well, the first reason you had a heart attack is because you're black. The second reason is because you're a man. I was like, dang, lady, that's not cool. But then I started to ponder about the things she was saying, and it made me realize something I'd never thought about before, Bo. It was this: science is racist. I was like, I don't like science like I used to anymore. All right, guys, we're going to continue a series that we started a little while. You know, science really isn't racist. I was just, kind of, but anyway. Go to the book of Jonah. We started a series of messages several weeks ago called The Secret. How many of you guys like secrets? Sounds bad, doesn't it? It's like secrets and lies. Well, we're going to talk about secrets and truth today. The secret. And we're going to be talking all about the book of Jonah today. Now, this is a very interesting book. It's a short book. If you were to read it, you could read the entire book in 20 minutes. It's like a couple of bathroom visits. You could take it out in no time. And in this book, I want you not just to look at the surface. A lot of times when we read books of the Bible, we will look at the surface basic information. There was a guy, he disobeyed God, he got swallowed by a fish, the fish spit him out, and he obeyed God, end of story. It's a lot deeper than that. God did not put this book in the Bible simply so you could have something to read to your kids at night. He wanted this specifically for us, and if you had a mirror, I'd ask you to put it in front of you, specifically for you. There is something in this that God wants you to get. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, in this, as we walk through this, you're going to see a lot of themes. There's a lot of complexity to this particular book of the Bible. You will see issues with unforgiveness and anger. You will see racism. You will see hypocrisy. You will see pride. You will see fear woven all through this particular book. One of the problems with this book, and we'll get into a little bit of those a little bit later, is people just don't believe it. There are books of the Bible that should be written or read in different ways. For example, there's poetry in the Bible. There's a book of the Bible called Proverbs. It's good advice. Not necessarily always comes to pass, but it's very good wisdom and advice. There are things called testimonies. You read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These are eyewitness accounts of what they have seen and heard. Now, when you read the book of Jonah, it should also be read literally. Now, this is the problem that some have found with this book. They said it is so supernatural. So supernatural, there's no way that it could have happened. But I want to challenge your imagination today and to, when we go through this book, realize that this is a literal book. This particular book of the Bible should be read exactly the way it is written. Can somebody say amen? We'll get into some of those reasons why people don't believe in a little bit. But if you're Jonah, we're going to read a few chapters, and I'm going to try to describe in a little more detail the story to you. Also, just to let you know, the name Jonah, it means dove. The little white bird goes like that. Jonah means dove. And you can see the bird, a dove, all through the Bible. And in Noah's Ark, Noah sent out a dove, and it came back with an olive branch, represents peace and represents hope. And so it's also a message that goes out. Jonah is a dove, and his name was meant for a specific reason. We'll find out. So we're going to start off in Jonah chapter 1. It says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it." How many of you like to be preached against? Not very good, huh? It says, because its wickedness has come up before me. Verse 3. And I want to put a map on the screen for you. Sometimes when we read the Bible, it's better understood if we can have a picture to understand exactly what's going on. This is a basic map of what Jonah was supposed to be doing versus what he actually did to. Now, God told him to go to Nineveh. Nineveh is an interesting city. Some of you guys have probably been to the ancient city of Nineveh for your job. Nineveh is in present-day Iraq. And the city of Nineveh itself is very close, could be present-day Mosul. We are still at war in this city. Some of our soldiers are still there in this area. ISIS and all kinds of forces have been fighting in this area, not just over the last 10 to 15 years, but for thousands of years, this particular area has been at war. At the time this was written, this is important to note, the book of Jonah, the Israelites were at war with the Assyrian Empire for 200 years. So think about this for a second. Your mortal enemy for 200 years, that's like great-great-granddaddy kind of stuff, had been fighting in the same war, had probably killed tens and tens of thousands of your Israeli brethren, and God says, as a prophet, go to this city. Go to this city. But in verse 3, the Bible says that Jonah ran away. This is important. Now, if you've got a Bible you can write in or one you can underline or highlight or make a note, this is kind of an interesting verse in verse 3. It says, Jonah ran away from the Lord. Anybody ever try to run away from God? If you're here, you're not doing a good job. It says, Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarsus. Now, if you look on the map, let's go back to the map just for a second. Tarsus is nowhere close to Nineveh, is it? And if you're a student of old world maps, you'll realize Jonah was actually trying to go to the edge of the world. Tarsus was very close to the very edge of the known world. Remember, this is before 1492. And Columbus sailed the ocean blue. This was like the edge of the known world. He tried to get as far away from God as possible. Now, the sad thing about that, he was a dumb prophet. You can't really run from God, can you? I've tried it. It don't work. He can go to the club. He can go under the sheets. He can go in the dark. God goes everywhere. It's amazing. And he's in Tarsus too. And so he set aboard a ship in Joppa to go towards Tarsus. Now, one of the amazing things you're going to find out in this book is that God is sovereign. If you don't know what that word is, it's a very powerful word. The word sovereign means you have all authority. And we find out very early on in this book that God is sovereign. We find out that after they left out for Joppa, headed to Tarsus, the Bible says that God sent a storm for the sole purpose of stopping Jonah in his tracks. There was a big discussion on the ship. Like I said, you can read all this. I'm going to paraphrase some of it for you. But there was a big discussion on the ship. Jonah was asleep. They woke him up to find out if he had anything to do with what was going on. He woke up and he said, yeah, actually, my God is the God of the universe. He's the maker of heaven and earth, and I disobeyed him. And they're like, what, what? And so they kicked him off the boat, and then it says God calmed the sea. Now, this is amazing, but this is not unknown in the Bible. We see Jesus, he spoke to the storm. He calmed the storm. He calmed the sea. So this is really cool. We understand there's some totality in the Bible. We can see God's doing this here. He's doing that there. But there is something very peculiar that God does next that makes skeptics think this book is a book of hooey. It's what God does next that sets this book apart. And it's that God sent a great fish to swallow Jonah whole. Now, a lot of us like, man, that, And God, he's a jokester. It's funny how he said that. This was real. God sent a big fish. Now, I looked in multiple translations. He said it was a fish. But in the real, in the original language of Hebrew, and when Jesus used the same phrase in the Greek, it means an aquatic creature. Doesn't necessarily mean it was a big fish. Could have been a whale. Could have been whatever. And what we find out is this whale swallowed Jonah for a particular purpose. See, Jonah was running away from God's word. Have you ever heard or read God wanted you to do something and you did the opposite? Uh-oh. I'd say all of us in here have disobeyed God. Can you say amen? But I doubt any of you have ever been swallowed by a whale or a fish. See, the thing is that I've learned and we've discussed in our men's groups on Saturday morning is that you can't run from God, and God will always get his man or woman. You can do as much dirt and get as far from God as you think you can. He will do whatever it takes. Somebody say, whatever it takes. He will do whatever it takes to get your attention. Somebody say amen. And he decided the best way to get the attention of Jonah is to send the largest aquatic creature I can find to swallow this man whole. See, Jonah had something called righteous indignation. That's a powerful word, isn't it, Pastor Ron? Just sounds like a big word, like a $5 college word. Righteous indignation. This is a justified feeling of being angry because of great injustice or unfair treatment. See, Jonah had watched his Israeli brethren in war for years and years, but he also knew God. See, Jonah was a prophet. See, back then, God didn't talk to everybody through the Holy Spirit like he does today. If you were a prophet, he would speak directly through you. So when God said, go to the great city of Nineveh, he meant go. But Jonah also realized that God is merciful, that God is patient. Let's look in 2 Peter, verse 3 through 9. It says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you. Has God ever been patient with your knucklehead self? Not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. See, what Jonah realized is that if he went to this great city and preached against it, about its wickedness, he knew there was a good chance that they would repent, and we'll talk about that in a minute, and that God would give grace to these people. The problem was is that Jonah kind of had a racist bug in him. See, he thought that God was just the God of the Jews. Why would he have love for anybody else? But this is the secret. You know, each week we've talked about a particular secret that some character in the Bible possesses that we can utilize in our life and very tangible to understand it so that we can apply it to our everyday life. And we're about to get that. You guys want to hear the secret? Yeah. Okay, 8 people out of like 80. Okay, who would like to hear the secret? Yeah. All right, pretty good. I like that. All right, so here it is. The secret is Jonah never figured out the secret. You're going to read through this book, hopefully. In chapter 4, God went through extraordinary measures to explain the secret. And this is the secret, is that God's love for people is beyond comprehension. God's love for people is beyond comprehension. And I say that because it's still beyond our understanding sometimes. Sometimes it just seems like God shouldn't love some folk, right? Y'all in church, you don't have to lie. It seems like some folk have done so much wrong, either to the world or to us personally, they don't deserve God's mercy and grace. They've just done too much. But what we fail to understand is that God's love is beyond our comprehension. You know, I was coming to work one morning this week, and I started to cry as I was thinking about this story. Why would God have so much love for Nineveh? I mean, it's not just that they were at war with God's people for 200 years, but for the last 2,000 years, this area of the world has caused a menace. And even to this day, we have soldiers in this area dying for our freedom. Why didn't God just blot them off the map? He could. He's done it before. He started over. He put the reset button. And the great flood happened. And I started to think, you know what? God loves people more than we understand. See, these are people, the Ninevites. And to be honest with you, if you really want a big secret, we are the Ninevites. See, this entire book describes the gospel of Jesus Christ as a foreshadowing of what was to come. From Jonah being 3 days in the belly of the whale to the good news coming to the city of Nineveh, which was a pagan, Gentile city and nation that was not searching for God, had no concept of the one true God until the good news came and told them to repent. I don't understand how a God could love people who would curse him. With the Ninevites, people who would kill God's own people. And I started to think, God's been that good to us, hasn't he? He's been patient with you. You know, I believe today, can we throw that map back on the screen? There's been things God's called us to do. There's things he's caused us to believe. That represents Nineveh, the direction God is trying to take you in. But we have been a lot like Jonah. We have ran the other way. We have forsaken what God wants us to do. We've turned our back on God. We've disobeyed him. And we didn't just obey him. We went far from him. Many of us have tried to run from the presence of God, but I'm letting you know today, God is not done with you. I believe if you are here today and you have tried to run from God, God is using this message. He's using this book of the Bible to get your attention. See, God used the whale, the fish, to get Jonah's attention. He was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and 3 nights. Wow. I think he would have got my attention with that, don't you? You know, many people say this didn't happen. How could this happen? It happened before. Just to give you a little note in history, in the late 1800s, around the year 1890, there was a seaman who fell off of a boat. And he was swallowed by a large sperm whale near the Falkland Islands. This is the southern part of South America, and a big island over to the right. It says, after 3 days, what they were doing is they were whale fishermen, which was very popular back then. They had harpooned the whale. They had taken it to the coast. They had start to cut the blubber off of the whale, which was a normal practice. The blubber of the whale created oil, and they made money off of it. When they got inside the belly of the whale, they discovered an unconscious man who was still alive but unconscious. And it says, though there was some damage to his skin, he survived. And after 3 weeks, he was back to normal again. Don't ever doubt God's word. Don't ever doubt God's word. 3 days in the belly of the whale, God taught Jonah a very specific lesson that he has tried to teach us every day of our life. And it's when you run from God, God will outrun you. He will catch up to you. And he will get your attention. And when you're away from God, when you're not serving God, the purpose is so that you would repent. We find out reading Jonah chapter 2 inside the belly of the whale. It's known as Jonah's prayer, that Jonah repented. And repentance is a big fancy church word. It simply means changing your direction. If you're going towards God or towards the way that you want to go, you're going towards sin, towards rebellion. When you hear the word of God, when God finally gets your attention, whatever it takes, whether you're 10 years old or 80 years old, you turn around. The original language means that you change your mind. You first think it's okay to fornicate. It's okay to have adultery. It's okay to get drunk every night of the week. But then I heard the word of God, and now I am what's called convicted. Yeah. and now it's caused me to feel bad. Not that God wants you to feel bad, but he wants you to turn from wickedness and turn towards him. This happened to me many years ago on a Sunday morning. I was doing my own thing. Many of you guys like to do your own thing, don't you? I was drinking good, womanizing, thought I was having a good old time, Pastor Lance. Unbeknownst to me, God didn't like all that. The old saying, God don't like ugly. I was doing lots of ugly stuff. And maybe your sin of choice was not like mine. God can see them too. A lot of times we think it's just the outside stuff that God sees. He can see that bitterness. Yeah, good. He can see that unforgiveness that lies in your heart that has made you separate from family and caused you distance in your relationship with God. He sees it all. And repentance is when we realize that God has a different way for us to live. So even though I might not be completely knowing how I should live, maybe I can't get completely free from my sin, I realize that God has something else for me. So I'm going to turn away from that. I'm going to turn away from that. I may not be perfect right now, but I'm turning my eyes away from it, and I'm looking at Jesus and the Word of God and how I should live, and I'm asking God to come into my heart and help me to set me free to love you and obey you. Somebody say amen. Amen. And this is what happened in the belly of the whale. And if you keep reading, you find out really quickly. After he repents, it says that in the Bible that the fish took him to Nineveh and the fish vomited it. Yeah. Did it? Is that how you say that? Vomited. No, what? Vomit didn't come out. Jonah came out. Okay, so the fish vomited Jonah out of its mouth onto the shore of Nineveh. And I love what God says in Jonah chapter 3. I just want to read this really quick to you. Jonah chapter 3, verse 1 through 2. This is right after Jonah got spit out onto the beach. It says, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Aren't you glad that we serve a God of second chances? How many chances has God given you? He could have, you know, if it was me, I'd give up on you. Like, you a lost cause, deuces. But God gives us a second chance. He said, go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim it. The message I give you. And he obeyed this time. And he went through the city. And he began to talk about their wickedness. And how they had rebelled against God. And the amazing thing happened. This pagan, wicked, awful nation, Gentiles, the entire city repented. And said, we will proclaim a fast and we will serve this God. Wow. And God decided, I won't destroy the city. He had given grace and mercy to this city. And the secret that we have talked about, Jonah didn't get it. In chapter 4, you see one of the most amazing dialogues that God has with another person. God tries to explain for an entire chapter why his love is so great. And how he cares for all of us, no matter how far we've gone, no matter what we've done. And his love is amazing. We see it in the New Testament, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And the secret that was so elusive to Jonah, we can possess that secret today. I don't know where you are in your relationship with God. I don't know how far from Nineveh you may have traveled, but God has called you to do something. He's called you maybe to repent. He's called you to do something. And God wants to get your attention today. I want to end with a story. Again, I've talked to you a little bit about the heart attack that I had. And I had a heart attack, for many of you that don't know. On January the 27th, I started having a heart attack. And basically, I had a heart attack for 24 hours. And at the request of my beloved wife, she said, you need to go see what's going on with you. I had no idea what was going on. If I knew I had a heart attack, I'd have went to the hospital. I didn't know what was happening. I just didn't feel good. And I went to the walk-in clinic across the street from the hospital. And this was at the beginning of flu season in January, end of January. A lot of people were in there Saturday morning. And there were people that were, there was this one lady. She was all dressed up, but she was barking up like a small donkey, Pastor Lance. It was so nasty. She was so sick. She was, I was like, dear God, get that woman some help. Like people all around me, sick folk everywhere. I was sitting in the middle of the row by myself. I didn't want them sneezing on me. It's like, these people are just sick. Like, dear God, like, E God, man. It was just awful. And unbeknownst to me, I was the sickest person in the entire room. Here I am judging these people, being critical of these people, talking about how nasty they are in my mind, like, don't sneeze on me. And I am the sickest person in the entire room. There was something wrong with me that I didn't understand. And it went far beyond the flu. I could have died. And something that I realized later on after the heart attack, after I started to recover, God showed me something. Every single one of us in the room were sick. Every last one of us were sick. Some sickness didn't look like other sickness. Some was worse. Some was not as bad. This was the same situation that Jonah was in with the Ninevites. Jonah was just as sick as the Ninevites because he found himself in sin and rebellion and hypocrisy and racism right in front of God. And the Ninevites, who knew no God, who worshiped anything else but the one true God, were just as sick in their sin as Jonah was. And it reminded me of something this week. Every single one of us needs a Savior. Every single one of us has a sickness called sin. Every single one of us needs a Savior. Every single one of us has God taking us somewhere. Taking us somewhere. Maybe your sin doesn't look like mine. Maybe for some of you it's outright rebellion and sin. It's about to close. And for others, maybe it's God told you to forgive somebody. And you said, I can't forgive that one. They don't deserve it. They've done too much. They've gone too far. For some of you, it's God said, give that homeless person money. Put $1,000 in the church. You're like, can't do it, God. Can't do it. And wherever you find yourself today, God is calling you out. He's getting your attention. This entire room is being swallowed by a big whale. And you're in the whale so that he can get your attention. Because in the whale, you can't run, can you? You can't hide. And no matter how hard you try to run from God, he always, always gets his man and gets his woman. I just want to pray for you just for a second. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray today that we would open our eyes to see exactly where we stand before you today. So we sing this last song, God. I pray that people would get right with you. I pray if we need to repent, let this be the place. Let this be the time. In Jesus' name.
You stood before creation, eternity in your hands. You spoke the earth into motion, my soul bound to stand. You stood before my failure and carried the cross for my shame. My soul. sin weighed upon your shoulders, my soul now to stand. So what can I say? What could I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. So I walk upon salvation, your spirit alive in me. This life to declare your promise, my soul now to stand. So what can I say? And what could I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. Come on and stand. And what can I say? And what could I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. Oh, I give it to you, Jesus. So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned, in awe of the one who gave it all. I'll stand, my soul, Lord, to you surrendered all I am is yours. So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned, in awe of the one who gave it all. I'll stand, my soul, Lord, to you surrendered all I am is yours. All I am is yours.
Lord, as we stand here today, God, I know there are ones in this room that desire to give all to you. Maybe they came in not 100% serving you, following you. But today, God, there are those in this room that want to give all to you. If that's you today, and you didn't serve him with your whole heart, but today you have been convicted. You were in the heart to repent right now before a merciful, holy, loving, amazing God. If that's you today, we want to stand with you. We want to pray with you. We want to trust God with you. If that's you, just raise your hands today so we can pray with you today. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, you see those that are willing to forsake all for you, to give it all up for you today, God. Father, I pray today, God, that they may have been going one way, but you have got their attention right now. And God, I thank you, Lord, that repentance has come. Faith in Christ has come today, God. And God, we pray today is just the beginning. In Jesus' name.